Hello, my name is Jude Duncan and this is So Skin, a podcast all about visible differences, invisible illnesses and journeys to self-acceptance. This podcast features stories from people living with visible differences and invisible illnesses who create, document and share their journeys on social media. I've had psoriasis for almost 7 years and have been sharing my experiences of psoriasis online over the last 4 years, as well as my experience of psoriatic arthritis since last year. So, let's start the podcast.
Hi Ryan, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It's so nice to chat to you in person. We've been Instagram friends for a while, so it's nice to virtually meet you and have this chat. For those that don't know you, can you please tell us what your condition is?
Yeah, so I have psoriasis, plaque psoriasis and erythroderma psoriasis. And I also have psoriatic arthritis in my wrists, ankles and lower back.
Oh, what's the second type of psoriasis you have, sorry? I've not heard of that one before.
Erythrodermic psoriasis. So it's a really rare, very severe type of psoriasis where it causes more like a burn to your skin rather than patches. So it's like a full red patch that never heals. It's always cracked and like bleeding. It's caused by your body, the levels in your immune system not being able to keep inflammation down. So typically you would be hospitalized and put into a drip to get your immune system back under normal levels, or as normal as you can with a chronic condition. But but yeah, it's very serious and it can kill you if it's severe enough.
Yeah. Wow. I think like... Yeah, that's insane. And I think that's the thing is that's why I get so annoyed when people are like, oh, psoriasis, it's just a skin thing. And I'm like, no, it gets pretty severe. Like, it can cause some damage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Ryan, when were you first diagnosed with both psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis?
So, psoriasis, I was first diagnosed with plaque psoriasis in September of 2006, which was brought on by stress from being bullied at school at the time. And it then developed into erythrodermic. It was August 2020 as a result of a topical steroid withdrawal cream.
Wow.
Which changed it from plaque pretty much overnight into erythrodermic. And then it spread across to about 92% of coverage of my body is where it was when I got treatment. Psoriatic arthritis, that was October 2020 is when I was diagnosed, but it was shown very early symptoms in July 2017.
Wow, that's crazy. So it was topical steroid withdrawal that kind of made your psoriasis flip and get that little bit more serious.
Yes.
That's crazy. So how did you end up getting it under control then? Because are you clear at the moment?
I am. I would say probably the only areas that I have, I've got two tiny, almost, I wouldn't say pea-sized patches on my side, near my rib cage. Right. And I have, my bum is still fully covered because of treatment. And having burns from treatment.
A lot of pain went into
months
that I had erythrodermic.
So what was it that
psoriasis, and it boiled down to me having to put a complaint into the
NHS,
because it was due to
COVID
care only at the time, so they weren't seeing you for appointments, despite the fact I was with erythrodermic at the time, being a very dangerous type of psoriasis and having as much coverage as I do. Normally you'd have 15% coverage, we'd hospitalise you, and obviously I was closer to 90% at the time. I eventually managed to get my complaint through, and suddenly I was fighting for UVB foot therapy, and in July of 2021 they took me in to basically see how bad my psoriasis actually was, and they said that I should have been in hospital months ago on a drip, which I had always thought about. Because
were you just kind of like, yeah, I know. Yep. Duh.
I was pretty argumentative with the dermatologist because I had enough of waiting around and I was in a lot of pain at the time. And eventually they asked what would clear it up and I said UVB because sun is the only thing that's ever sent into remission, but I never achieved full remission ever and having psoriasis, but I knew that UVB would help. They weren't particularly convinced that it would help, to the point where I had to offer to pay the NHS to get the treatment because I was so confident in it. Obviously, their stipulation was if it didn't work, then we would obviously see about you having to pay, but I was very confident it would work. So I started it 2 weeks after my appointment, so it'll be, I think, the 24th of July or somewhere around that week. And it was UVB for Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 8 weeks, every week. And within 2.5 weeks of appointments, so around about 8 appointments, I had noticed that my psoriasis hadn't completely gone, but it was very faded compared to what it had been, which was a huge change from just 2 weeks before. I wasn't in any pain. And then by about 6 weeks in treatment, it completely gone. It was just scarring that was left. And then by the end of my 8 weeks, it was fully gone. Apart from my bum, which unfortunately 6 weeks into the treatment, I got a 3rd-degree burn on it because as a guy, you have to wear something to cover your certain area. And I wore briefs. Normally, they don't recommend you to wear briefs. They recommend you to wear like a sock or something. because you have to keep your... When it comes to pants, you have to keep it at the exact same level every time, so it's the same amount of skin that's exposed. Yeah.
It would have been good, though, if they'd told you that beforehand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a small thing. I'd been folding the elastic on the top of them to try and get as much coverage of my bum as possible, and when I was in the treatment booth, it was at the time I was in for 6 minutes in the booth. Mm-hmm. And during that 6 minutes, I didn't feel it at the time, but the elastic unraveled itself and it came down a bit more. And it ended up causing, it was about a centimetre thick burn right away across my back, around my bum, and which then meant I had to cover up for the last 2 weeks of my treatment fully on that area. So that psoriasis there has stayed where at the level it was at 6 weeks. It's never gotten better, but it's never gotten worse. I think it's more of a scar than it is.
Okay.
It doesn't cause me, I mean, it's itchy, but it doesn't cause me any distress or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad it doesn't cause distress. That sounds pretty horrendous. I find it amusing. It obviously isn't, but I find it amusing that the doctor was like, oh, that's not going to work. And I am such an advocate for like working with your doctor, but it can be so hard when they don't listen to you and what you know mm-hmm. your knowledge of your condition. How did you navigate that? Obviously, this sounds like at a time where you were really frustrated, you're obviously in a lot of pain, there's obviously the mental aspects of that. How did you navigate that, and do you have a better relationship with your dermatologist now?
So I have actually had to fight all the way through my treatment. For particularly for UVB, it was 10 years that I had been seeing it. Every single appointment for 10 years giving me UVB. Mm-hmm. And they've always said, it doesn't work, it's too expensive, money is obviously huge for my NHS. And that they kept trying to put me into methotrexate instead of having light therapy. And obviously for me, I knew that sunshine is the only thing that clears it up. So it was a lot of back and forward about that. I was very suicidal at that time because of the amount of inflammation I was in. I was lucky if I was getting an hour's sleep per day at all. And every time I would like walk somewhere, like if I walked to the shops, if I stood in a queue at the inside the shop for a couple of minutes, my legs would seize up, and as soon as I move again, they would break and it caused bleeding, and obviously the air would get in, so it would be almost like putting salt into a wounds type feeling all the time. And my leg and stuff, particularly my right leg, looked like an acid burn. It's probably the best way to describe how it looked. It was horrendous. But speaking to people in the community really helped. I definitely know that I wouldn't be here right now if I didn't know people in the community, because of how bad it was for me at the time. I actually, now that I'm fully in remission, for whatever reason, NHS did this, and I've complained about it a lot. They took me off their books and discharged me from dermatology, which is incredibly weird for a chronic autoimmune condition. And the hospital that I'm at, unfortunately, has got a 72-week waiting list to get back into the dermatologist. So I booked an appointment with them through my GP in April this year, and I've been told that it's July next year before I can get an appointment.
That's crazy. Like, I think that people think that because we have the NHS, which I am very grateful for, you know, that we get access to medication and stuff sooner than people think. But I always think that because psoriasis is seen as a skin thing, people on the podcast won't see my air quotes, because I was in air quotes, is a skin thing, that we do get dropped down the list and we do get dropped sooner. And I've had arguments with my dermatologist where she's gone, you know, because I'm like 98% clear. Okay, you're doing great. We're just going to put you back to the GP. And I've had to fight with them to say absolutely not, because of that waiting time. Mm-hmm. It's a real problem with the NHS and especially with dermatology, because it's not seen as being as life-threatening as maybe other conditions.
Yeah, I think it's part of the stigma of it as well. It doesn't help much. Is the NHS, particularly dermatologists, obviously, unless they have psoriasis themselves, for eczema, which thankfully in my hospital a lot of the dermatology nurses do have psoriasis or eczema, so they can relate to like treatments and stuff, which has been a lot of help. I've actually used that a lot as my ammunition for when I've been at dermatologist, say, well, your nurse has it as well, so you can relate in that sense. But yeah, it's, I think, great work that NHS does, and I know a lot of nurses and stuff and doctors personally, that amazing work that they do. But yeah, I do think that there is benefits to it being available for everybody, and also benefits for it to be private, in the sense of more, I think, fairly treated.
So we've talked a lot, quite extensively, about your story and where you got to, and you know, you've talked about the community a little bit. So I'm really interested to know, when was it you started your Instagram? Because I feel like I've been following you forever, but I'm not actually sure when you started talking about psoriasis on Instagram.
So I've had my Instagram account since 2016, but it wasn't about psoriasis. I've been a fashion lifestyle photographer. It was a portfolio, essentially, website for me. Yep. To get clients. And then it was actually due to COVID that I then changed it to talking openly. It wasn't actually to begin with about psoriasis, it was about psoriatic arthritis. So it was around the time that I got diagnosed with it, I was fed up with no treatment from the NHS, pretty much forgotten about by dermatologist and rheumatologist. So I actually initially searched for people with rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis. I started connecting with them. And then I was like, well, maybe whilst I'm here, I might as well just search the hashtag psoriasis. And I followed, I'm gonna name drop some people. I think I followed Rena, was one of the first psoriasis people that I followed, psoriasis thoughts.
Love Rena. We're big fans of Rena over here.
Yes. And then Lindsay at We Red Spots. And then obviously
another one who I'm absolutely obsessed with, yes.
And then connected with you and a bunch of others. I think I've got 500 psoriasis accounts now in common with like some people. It's crazy. But that was November of 2020. And I was just sharing people's stuff. I wasn't really talking about mine. And then it was, I think it was like Christmas Eve. 2020, I started to openly, I think I posted like a story just as a test war, because everybody that followed me at the time was photography related. I put it out there, saw a lot of support, and I was getting a lot more psoriasis and arthritis accounts following me. And then it wasn't until January when I started to properly flare, and the erythrodermic really started to take over during my flare months. that I began to post reels every, I think it was every 2 or 3 weeks at the time, showing how the skin was and how it was developing, just to raise awareness, being a guy and not seeing as many guys talking about the conditions.
Yeah, I completely agree. There is not as many guys as there is females talking about psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And I think as well, with the rarity of the type of psoriasis that you have, it's so great that you're being so vulnerable online and sharing these stories. But I've also loved that you've managed to, you know, you obviously have a passion for raising awareness for psoriasis, but you're also a super talented photographer, and you've managed to pull those together, and you've done some shoots with some amazing psoriasis warriors. So, like, how did that come about?
So obviously I love being creative, and always put a smile on somebody's face has always been something that helps me mentally a lot. So if I'm having a down day, at least cheering somebody else up feels better for me. Wanting to raise awareness, I'd seen obviously a lot of people have been doing such amazing stuff for Psoriasis Awareness Month and stuff. But I've always wanted to not just do about psoriasis, but do about all autoimmune conditions to try and raise awareness and sort of break the stigma, because I know in my area of the country, there is definitely a lot of stigma around visible illnesses. Obviously stares, hurtful comments that I've personally experienced and seen others experience. So I kind of just want to break the stigma on that. And my goal essentially is to create positive, meaningful change and awareness and acceptance for all autoimmune conditions, not just psoriasis. And then for the photography side, I haven't worked in the fashion industry where airbrushing is a huge thing. Unfortunately for the photos, once I got out of working in-house with fashion brands, I wanted to show raw skin in my photos, unless obviously the model specifically asks for their skin to be edited. I don't do any sort of skin editing, just to show the rawness. And it was, I believe it was last year, I wanted to start getting psoriasis people in, or vitiligo sufferers in, because I know a lot of psoriasis warriors don't like having their patches photographed, which is why I approached a lot of vitiligo people who unfortunately weren't available. So eventually me and Lindsay shot last week, and I shot with another girl last week, which was great. Both of them, I think, have went really well. Still waiting to hear from one of the models, but Lindsay absolutely loves the stuff, and it should be going on a reel this week or next week for me, to raise awareness. I've always wanted to combine the two, my love of photography as well as the creativity, for raising awareness.
I love that. That's brilliant. And I'm so glad that you're getting to do that, especially now that we're coming out of COVID times and things are getting back to some form of whatever normality was. What do you think the biggest misconception about your conditions are?
I think that, like you've mentioned before, that people believe that it's just a skin condition. I think, obviously, the skin, from obviously feeling you as well, yourself, it's very painful, it's very itchy, it doesn't look good. But I feel almost like the mental side is always more important, because I don't know if you have, but I've never received mental care from hospitals with regards to my psoriasis at all, which is, I think, is hugely, because it is very, makes you very self-conscious, particularly going in public, seeing people. You have to almost put like a layer of armor on to go out, because you know that people are going to stare at you. You know, sometimes you might get comments from people which could be either positive or negative. Unfortunately for me, it's been more negative. obviously people don't want to sit next to you in public transport because they think it's contagious, which it isn't. So that does play on your mind a lot. And obviously, the feeling of why me when you're in really bad fair times. I feel like the mental side is probably the most important misconception.
It's really tough. I do get treatment for my mental health, which I'm very open about, but that's always been separate to my psoriasis. I've actually only ever been asked once by a doctor about my mental health during a psoriasis checkup, and it was because my regular dermatologist wasn't in, so it was like a new dermatologist, she newly qualified, and she asked me about it, and I burst into tears, not because I wasn't okay, but just because it was the first time someone had ever asked that, and I was like, please please ask everyone every time you see them this question, because it will just mean the world.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's a sign that that's going to come soon. But yeah, I completely agree. I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like since the pandemic, people have a lot of health anxiety, which has almost made comments and stares and not wanting to sit beside people worse because they don't know what it is. And I think monkeypox is also going to make that worse. But yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's absolutely not.
So what do you wish you'd known when you were first diagnosed that you know now?
That it's not the end of the world, probably the most key one, because obviously being bullied at the time, it's first started on my face, which is probably not the best area where you're being bullied for it to appear, and scalp. And it was just, that you don't have to really rely on steroid creams for everything. There is other ways, there is other treatments, there is support out there, I think are the things that I wished I knew back then.
Amazing. Ryan, for those who don't follow you on social media already, where can they follow you?
So my main Instagram account is at Romeo Juliet Alpha, just the words, is where I post everything. It's all my photography stuff. A lot of the psoriasis stuff is there because that's where the most psoriasis warriors are. And then my other account, which I should really be posting on more, is at Itchy Diaries, or the Itchy... check. it is Itchy Diaries, at Itchy Diaries, which is primarily autoimmune rather than just psoriasis. In fact, it's actually more arthritis related. But yeah.
Amazing. For anyone listening that wants to go and check Ryan out, don't worry. I have added the links down below so you can go and check them. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. It's been such an interesting conversation to hear about your story. Thank you for being so vulnerable with us, and I hope to see you very soon.
Thank you very much.